welcome to the Birdie and Bass Podcast, episode 2 for the 2021 year. I'm Bass, and with me is Birdie.
How you going?
And in this episode, we're going to go through what we played in 2020, what our top games were, what ones we enjoyed, what ones we didn't enjoy. So be prepared. We're going to compliment some games and we're probably going to bash other ones. So look out. I think we'll start off with Xbox because that seems to be our biggest list because we are predominantly an Xbox playing group. So first thing sort of cabbed off the ranks was Apex Legends, which that was released last year, wasn't it?
Apex, that was back in 2018.
Yeah, so
you're a couple of years out, dude.
Yeah, we're not really new game this year, but it's something that we've all been playing, going along with. Was it doing the seasons and then sort of died off from it because it's just got into the bashy that you normally hear with all these online games, being the War Zones. Apex Legends, Fortnite, the matchmaking has made the game not that very good. So, I don't know. I enjoy it, but I only enjoy it in small things. I don't think I've actually bought the Battle Pass for the last 2 or 3 seasons.
I don't know.
I keep buying them. I'm a sucker.
Yeah, but you got to get them done. I don't see the value for money unless you get them done.
I've only missed out on one, and I only missed out. I got to 107 instead of 1010.
Oh, fair enough. But, yeah, I think it's still an enjoyable game. The new characters that are coming through are fun. It's been interesting watching, I don't know about Birdie, but I actually watch a bit of the esports when it comes to Apex Legends. And this year, it's been interesting watching the meta change character-wise. At the moment, it's got a lot of caustic meta in there, and unless you're a caustic, you're pretty much dead in the final circles that I've been watching because they just gas the hell out of it. So,
yeah. I've seen a couple of the replays. It's a pretty toxic freaking strategy to believe it or not. But, like, the only real thing you can do to combat that kind of shit is have a really good Watson. And that's about it, really, if you think about it. The Watson's got to be able to get in before the caustic.
Yeah, but how's the Watson going to stop the...
You've got to get into the final ring and you've got to get the trophy system up and you've got to make fences so the caustic can't even put up gas.
Yeah, that's true.
The problem with the caustic gas is if they get it down, it will actually destroy the fences.
Okay.
It's fucking stupid.
So caustic is the getting a bit OP in the competitive area. But
yeah, too bad he's got a fucking elephant head on him and he's easy to shoot.
Yeah. Which is quite interesting that some character with a decent-sized hitbox is still being used by pros.
Yeah, so that's because the pros have the movement.
Yeah, we worked that out last night when we were playing Apex. And we got rushed by 3 pro players that definitely were a mouse and keyboard and we were stuck on controller.
Honestly, it would have been better if we had a better call out, but still.
Yeah. It is what it is. I just enjoy getting on and playing games, to be honest. Whatever we play, we play.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I'm sort of irking with the Apex Legends is when they're doing these events, you pretty much have to buy all the things to get everything. There's no way of why can't they do it as like here's you got to buy 10 and earn 10 or buy the 14 and earn 10 by doing challenges, even if there are long challenges to do to make you sort of grind it out. And because to me, you can get in, do the event, do a few things and get back out. You've played the game for a couple of days and you haven't really hung around.
Yeah, I don't like the way that the special events things are going where you got to buy 24 freaking Apex packs and then you get the heirloom plus the which you can get the heirloom later on if you get really lucky in an Apex pack. That's fair enough. But all the other stuff that's in the other 24, you're not going to get them any other way. They don't come up in Apex packs later. They're literally locked behind a paywall.
Yep.
Which to me is a little bit annoying. Like, I would like to see something like the daily challenges that they have to get some other skins and stuff like that. I would prefer to have, like, you know, 30 skins just on that, or you can buy them if you want to. Is that one or the other? Like, the way I think they should do it is literally have the daily challenges, get enough points, get all 30 skins from the event. But if you do it that way and grind, you don't automatically get, like, Gibraltar's heirloom.
Yeah.
You only get that if you buy all 24 packs and then you get the Gibraltar's heirloom at the end of it, like what's happened. So you have to get the Gibraltar heirloom in an Apex pack from random luck if you want to, or you can buy it at a higher price later on. I mean, they'll still fucking make their money.
Yeah.
Either way, but the people that want to sit there and actually grind this stuff out or have something to grind out.
Yeah, well, it gives you an incentive to play a lot. You're not going to try and, I don't know, you drop in, do a couple of things and leave. It's not, I don't see the point in it. It doesn't make the events interesting or anything else like that or rewarding to doing the events. Like the current event, I actually do enjoy with the different loot in the different areas. It allows you just to go in, except for, can we just get rid of the Krabers? I'm over Krabers. I don't want them anymore. But
like, because the only reason I lost that fucking match last night was because three people all had a Kraber and I didn't.
Yeah, well, they were just sitting up. That's what I mean. Final circle, sitting up the top, sniping with Krabers isn't exactly a great ending to a game.
It was three onto fucking one. And I'm surprised I took out the first one.
Yeah. Well, when you get it up close and personal, the old Kraber doesn't really work too well.
No, my fucking G7 worked a lot better.
Yep. But you get that. But I was going to say, I don't know, it'd be interesting. It'd be nice if you got an email from Microsoft, come to think of it, at the end of the year saying, I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing, showing you what games you played and how many hours you put into them.
Well, you kind of do. You get your report card every year.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's all based on gamer score and what you played most and stuff like that. If you want to be really depressed, go into your achievements and it actually has hours played for every single game.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see that.
My Apex hours make me want to commit suicide.
I can imagine the hours you've grinded on that one.
Solo grinding rank.
Yeah. Which you can't even do anymore because you need a decent trio to even do ranked.
Yeah, it's pretty shit. Like, I can get to platinum by myself, but hopes of getting to diamond or fucking any higher than diamond, it's just gone.
Yeah, there's no point. It's just it's just, well, from what I've been seeing from streamers, they're all talking about, most of the ones that I watch that get Predator ranks are all groups of like pro teams or groups of people that actually grind it out together. So we'll see what happens with that one. But yeah, I was going to say Apex would probably be one of the biggest ones we played this year. So we'll keep moving through. Cyberpunk 2077, probably the biggest game with the biggest glitches and the biggest outcry after it was released. But on the Series X, even though I'm not out of the prologue yet because I'm too busy playing another game we're going to mention later, it's one of those things that it runs fine for me on the Series X. I have fun with it. You can play around. You can do everything you want to do with it, and away you go.
Honestly, a quote from the Daily Drop, shameless plugging. It is, they literally launched the game of the year, worst game of the decade, all in one hit.
Yeah.
I reckon it's the biggest failure and the biggest hit game in history.
So does that mean when it gets re-released on next gen that it could end up being one of the biggest played games because people will get into it and start playing?
I reckon everyone that's returned it on next gen will actually re-buy it.
Fair enough.
Which I think is fucking stupid because, well, I'm just going to upgrade for free with smart delivery.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can understand why people wouldn't be happy with it and stuff like that. But as you said, Series X has been running fine. Yeah, there's glitches.
Yeah, well, even
with some glitches.
Yeah, I know. But even playing through the story and the game modes and stuff like that, the effect that you can go in to do a challenge and you've got multiple different ways of attacking it. One thing I wouldn't recommend is just going in gun-ho because you just get the crap blasted out of you and you pretty much die.
Well, it depends on the level that you're at and what perks you got. Yeah, I can pretty much go in gun-ho with a pistol now and take on 10 guys easily. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, well, I can't do that when I'm doing the story mode sort of thing.
Or a dildo.
Yeah. Just belting, bashing people with a sword-sized dildo.
That thing's like, I reckon it's a good 10-inch dildo.
Oh, I'm getting out of prologue and that's what I'm hunting down.
What, the dildo that's like as big as your forearm?
Yep. I'm just going to go belting people with it. Don't care. I'm just going to bash them. Get the melee up.
Hey, well, it's the great thing about it is since it's a blunt weapon, it's a non-lethal. So every time you go after a cyber psycho, your fixer always asks you to please don't kill them, just knock them unconscious. So you just go in the fucking dildo and whack them one or, you know, 60.
Yeah.
1,000 times. Depends on the cyber psycho. Some of them are just brutally hard to take down, no matter what you've got.
But in saying that, the game itself, I've actually enjoyed the fact you got motorbikes, you've got cars you can go around in, the different stuff that's around everywhere. I just remember you need to be conscious about what you junk. That's the thing that caught me. Like, obviously, you need to scrap your weapons so you can use it for weapons parts, as far as I'm aware. So that's what I ended up doing. So I just started scrapping weapons, not junking them or selling them.
So it depends on what level you're at, really. Like, yes, if you want to start crafting and things like that, then definitely dismantle a lot of weapons. I was at the point where I was dismantling all my crap weapons just to get the components. But anything that was like worth a couple of $100 to sell, I would sell it to get the extra money.
Okay.
But that was just me personally trying to think about it. But now I've got so much fucking money. It's
Isn't there a money glitch in there?
Yeah, I've done that too.
Is that still going on or is that gone now?
No, you can still do it. I don't think it's a glitch.
Oh, you reckon it's been put in there?
They literally put in this painting that fell from outer space into the game that's worth like $4,000 if you sell it. But then the vendor figures out it's not worth anything, so you can buy it back from them. All you got to do is leave the menu, go back into it, and buy it back off them for $5. So you just keep on doing that until they run out of money. Then you go to the next vendor.
Fair enough. All right. Well, yeah, so we've just been chugging along playing that. What else we got here? Control. I don't know if you've played it. I've only played, I think, the first two or three missions into this game. I actually enjoy it. The different parts of it, the different aspects of the game seem to be interesting. I'm assuming by the name of Control is what we get into later on is starting to control stuff. Because I'm enjoying Cyberpunk, I think I enjoyed Control. There's a lot of hype around Control. That's why I started playing it. But graphics-wise, it's a very nice, clean game, and the controls are so easy to use.
Well, it is a Remedy game, and they do have that that skill set of making a nice, accessible game that's gorgeous to play years on. Like, I mean, if you think about it, they made Alan Wake. That is still amazing to play even today.
it's not like it's got freaking monkey trash graphics or anything like that. It's ridiculous how good it still looks. But I have not played Control yet. The closest I've gotten is literally a tech demo at a conference, which was a couple of years before it came out. But I didn't even get to play that. I had to watch someone play it.
Yeah, well, you obviously see me playing it, sort of thing. Mm. It was just something that came up, you know, the old Game Pass just drops in there, so you might as well install it and see what the game's like. And I'm actually enjoying it. It's one of the games of the on the list there to get back to. So I don't think 2021 for me is going to be buying a lot of games. I think it's going to be finishing games I've already started or halfway through.
You said that about 2020, dude.
Yeah, but there hasn't been much coming out that's announced this year that I actually want.
Okay, well, fine. Halo Infinite.
Yeah, well, there is. Yeah, but is that coming out this year?
Is that the end of the year? I will admit that. They have postponed it to the end of the year. Forza Motorsport. I have no idea when that's coming out.
So, Forza Motorsport, I thought that's why we're getting racing rigs, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to set it up like right there. I took some measurements down.
I always thought you'd go the other way, but anyway.
What do you mean? What, like across the back green section here?
No, to the right of where you are behind your desk.
Yeah. The right, like over there. Yeah, up next to where all the games are.
Isn't it?
On the screen it is, no.
Yeah.
That's the left.
Okay. I meant the left, like where behind to where the window is that goes outside.
Yeah, that's there. Yeah, yeah, that's where I was going to put it, literally there, because the return on my desk is there, so it'll be nice and easy to set up a camera and stuff.
Yeah, so anyways,
then we can compete, and I can kick your ass in Forza, and you can kick my ass in F1 because I crash on the first corner.
Yeah, but what are we doing with, what is it, the options side of things? We go and everything off?
Yes.
Full feedback, everything off. It's all out
the
racing.
Who uses APS and stable that?
I don't use stability. Control. I use ABS sometimes because sometimes it's handy in car in racing events and things like that. Because some actual cars in racing events still have ABS. So
maybe in Formula One. Do Formula One cars have ABS? I know nothing about Formula One.
No, I don't think they've got ABS. But
they got fucking everything else.
Well, their brakes and the brakes and the accelerator in Formula One fly by wire. So it's all electronic. So it's going to be like doing your race sim anyway, except they have one foot. Is it right foot on the accelerator, left foot's on the brake pedal?
Yeah, so they do left foot braking. Like I do that anyway. That's how I was taught how to drive, stupidly enough.
Fair enough.
I was taught to race in dirt as a kid.
Yeah.
And get it sideways, and that was the easiest way.
Maybe you should start doing some rallycross.
Fucking get me a car. Let's go, bitch.
I know where a Black Lancer is.
Hey, yeah, so do I. Let's go. Sorry, Will.
We're moving right along. Star Wars Squadrons. I haven't played multiplayer one of this, but I have been going along with the missions and enjoying the single player campaign. I was actually surprised that it had both of those in it. I thought it was just going to be a purely multiplayer game. But
they said it was going to be a small campaign, but it's actually taken me a while and I still haven't finished it.
Yeah, I haven't finished it either. You still grind along and everything, and they're talking about add-ons to it and everything as well, I thought.
No. Before it came out, they said it was a standalone and that was it. They weren't adding anything to it, but it might have changed, honestly.
Yeah, well, I thought that...
I think they're bringing in more pilots and stuff for multiplayer.
Yeah.
Nothing for the story.
Quick plug, but if you've got an Amazon Prime, you can get an assortment of helmet DLC. Or not That's DLC, right. but different coloured helmets and everything else like that. So I think they're doing cosmetics. Maybe that's what they're adding into it, is cosmetic side of things. But I don't know. Maybe we'll get more later on. What are you doing?
So he wants to join.
I've blown up enough R2 units in that game. but no, seriously, if you got a HOTUS like flight stick for Elite Dangerous or whatever, like, fucking amazing game to use it on.
I didn't actually ever think of that. I've been playing it on Pro Elite controller, so.
Yeah, like it's good on controller. And then I was looking at a review on, and they're like, oh yeah, you can use the Thrustmaster HOTUS. I'm like, I've got one of them.
Yeah, well, the only thing I keep forgetting about with controller is to like keep changing your shields to, you know, the three sections you've got where you can up one and down the other and stuff like that. I just sit mine across the board as middle and I just keep forgetting.
That's what makes me feel like some of the people who developed the game actually plays Elite Dangerous, because they've got the exact same system. They've got the shields, yeah, the systems and the engine power on the D-pad, like, and you just put different pips into whatever you want. Like, as soon as I saw that system, I'm like, okay, someone's ripping off someone here, and fucking Elite Dangerous has been out for many years.
Yeah, but that's also when you have a look at a controller game that's like that, where else are you going to put it on the controller?
Yeah, well, that, like, it's just weird that they've got the system where you can move around your energy to whatever system. It's not many games like that.
No, it's true, but that's what you need in that type of game, I think, for the Star Wars side of things. But I'm hoping that maybe we're going to see some more Star Wars games going along in the future. But Squadrons, I am enjoying. I just don't know how long this bloody campaign is.
I just keep grinding
along and grinding along with it. But we'll get there eventually.
I'll probably hop on and be like, yep, I'm going to play this until I'm done with it. It's going to take me all night. And it's like one mission left or something stupid like that, I bet you.
Oh, probably. Oh, yeah. But there's also the multiplayer side of things, which apparently is supposed to be good.
We got to get a squad going and just freaking absolutely ream some Thai squads.
Yeah, we need to get bloody Darth in.
Yeah, Darth. I see you there in the chat.
Yeah, needs to come and join in and start playing some Star Wars Squadrons.
Yeah, he can learn how to use a freaking Y-Wing. I'm not being no bomber.
Because with the multiplayer, this is going to show us that we've not played it, but I thought the different series of, it's like you got to do four missions or whatever. You start like on the outer part of certain planes, and then you work your way into, you end up, the last run is the bomber run or something like that over a big aircraft.
So, well, that's one of the game modes. The other one, you've just got a full-on fight with, if you take out the enemy's destroyer or frigate class ship, then you win, or if you just take out all their player lives, you win. It depends on what game mode that you play. I mean, you can have a bomber squadron go over. It actually reminds me of Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
Back in the day of the GameCube.
Oh, well, at least I actually great that they actually did that game, because I think that's the sort of game everyone's been waiting for.
Yes.
The Battlefront 1 and the Battlefront 2s were, yeah, that's nice sort of thing to have, but I think deep down, every Star Wars fan, all they want to do is jump into a TIE fighter or something like that and go flying around and just shoot the crap out of anything that's flying with them.
They just wanted the space battles. And like Battlefront 1, reviewers gave so much shit for not having big space battles. Battlefront 2, they're like, we brought in massive space battles. And people are like, yeah, this is good for like 10 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is exactly what they needed, honestly.
Well, I think, what is it, Battlefront 1's biggest issue or 2, whatever, was the whole pay-to-win loot box scenario. Sort of killed that game pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, they fixed it 9 months later, but who the fuck's playing it 9 months later? Actually, it's kind of had a resurgence in the last month. I've seen a lot of people streaming it.
Oh, it's one of those things where I think people are just starting to want to stream different things, like you're seeing Rust come back. It looks like you're playing bloody Minecraft friggin' 10 years ago, but anyway.
Yeah, Rust is going ridiculous now. There's a Twitch ANZ server set up now.
Okay. Next one along is
that invite.
I'm not playing it. Destiny 2 Beyond Light. I think I've got to the start of that campaign. I was like two expansions behind, so I've been chewing my way through all that.
It's actually really good.
Yeah.
It's Destiny.
We got to find enough people to do a raid. It used to be fun doing those. But
I love shouting at people. I love getting on the ball and going every 10 seconds and pissing off my neighbors because fuck them.
But it's just the Destiny 2, the way that they've done it, I think it's good to see that they're expanding that back out and keeping going with it, especially with next gen, because I thought they might have brought out a 3, but where are they going to go with it? Or is Destiny 2 going to be like a GTA 5 and we're going to see Destiny 2 just roll on for three generations of consoles?
Like, there are rumors there's going to be a Destiny 3, but there's also, Bungie has said they're also working on a new IP altogether. So, fuck knows, really. Apart from that, like, I'm surprised they were one of the quickest developers to get a next-gen patch out, like for the Series X and PS5. They got theirs out just under a month after the consoles came out. Oh, it was only a couple of weeks, actually, after the consoles came out.
It wasn't a month. It was less than that. It was. I thought it was in the first week to 2 weeks of the console being out. Yeah. There was the X and S, or in most cases for us, it was just free download the whole game again.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I'm just shocked. Like, yes, some developers have gotten out like the next gen updates or versions of the games really quickly, but so many of them are just campaigns, single player campaigns and things like that. If you think about it, Destiny had to do this on an online freaking like living game.
Yeah.
That's a big overhaul. And they didn't just chuck in the PC port either.
No, I think there's been they would have been on the forefront of making sure that their game is compatible as the generations keep going through, because you want more people to keep playing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 9th of January and we still don't have a fucking patch for Apex.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm still being fucking shitty at Respawn at the moment. They're one of my favorite fucking developers, but seriously.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that some are onto it, some are not onto it. The other one...
Where's that Switch port for Apex?
Might as well do a bloody mobile phone port while they're at it.
I just want to play Apex with these guys while I'm in Brookton out on the farm and shit. And my potato freaking mobile Wi-Fi.
I don't think Apex on Switch is going to be cross-play with PC. I mean, yeah, PC.
They announced it. Oh, they said not PC, but they did announce it's going to be compatible with crossplay when they first announced it was coming out.
Okay. I'm interested to see where that goes.
I think it'll be one of those things, like, if we play Apex with Rise, then we get put into a PC lobby as console players. So yeah. I think you'd play with Switch people until you go into a party with console players, then you get put into a console server and get, you know, brutally ass raped by 50 black guys.
you never know. They could turn up the old aim assist and it could be quite fun. I know that when Fortnite dropped on Switch, that was fun. That was like the first probably 3 or 4 days on that. If you were already playing it on a different console and just loaded up in your Switch and you started playing it, the way that the aim assist and everything else was working on there, you could just shooting everyone like bloody bot lobbies and just going through and getting kills. You didn't have to build. You just shoot the crap out of everyone and then just keep going. It was just like playing a Apex or bloody Warzone or something like that. You didn't have to build, sit there bloody doing 90s and building every tower to the moon. You just run through and shoot them. So
that's disgusting.
It was fun.
I bet it was. But like, and I know that you've got a pro controller as well, so you had another advantage on top of that.
hey, it was a bit like you play a bloody Call of Duty mobile using an Elite controller.
I was bored while we were at Targa West.
So,
anyway, you passed out from racing. I was just sunburnt.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I haven't lost a game yet.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, which was pretty much a remaster.
That was fucking awesome.
That was a good game. That was bringing back the old days of playing that on PS1.
Yeah, I've practically clocked them both already.
I don't think I've actually finished a lot of but
got every single thing in it. I haven't got all the achievements, though. They've got a couple of secret ones in there.
Yeah, that's one thing. To me, that's one of those games where you just want to chill back for a day and play. You just load that up and have some fun.
For a week straight.
Yeah. The other one that's similar to this is Dirt 5. I've clocked that and finished that. I think I got two achievements left to do on that one, maybe.
Dirt 5 was interesting. Like,
I can't get the expansion to load. I go to load Dirt 5 at the moment now, and it just crashes.
I had an update for that the other night.
Yeah, mine won't even open. It just opens and then boots it straight back to the not the home screen. So I don't know what's going on with it. I think it's probably going to be the whole uninstall and reinstall.
No, I did notice there was an update for Dirt 5, some expansion for it last night. So that might have fixed it. I haven't actually loaded it up for a while. But like, that game came out and I got it. I got the pack that came out early on the 1X. It was another game that ran like shit.
Yeah.
And then Series X came out. It was gorgeous.
Oh, it was night and day between those two consoles, because it was like on the 1X, you load it up and you like go to load a game up. It's like, yeah, we put loading.
It took so long to load.
Well, it was the case of the fact I hit load and I could go fetch a beer from the fridge down the back in the shed, come back and I still had
a dump.
And I couldn't. It still hadn't loaded. And then I switched it over to the Series X. Go to load a game out. I don't think I got out the bloody room before it says it's ready to go. So that was, to me, it looked like Dirt 5 had been done for Series X, and then they just tried to port it back to a 1X.
My biggest thing with Dirt 5 was, like, apart from the loading, which was ridiculous, like, it had its two modes kind of thing, like its performance FPS mode and then its high fidelity mode or graphical mode, whatever you want to call it. And on stream, I switched to the graphical mode to see how good it could look, and it was not even running 30 frames per second. I think it was hitting about 20 max. It was so bad. I changed it back, and like, you know, you could see it hitting the 60 like it was meant to, but it was definitely not stable. But it had crashes, it had bugs, and it felt like...
Oh, I remember, because when we loaded it up on the first day, you couldn't hear the in-game music audio.
Oh, yeah, there was no in-game music at all. It was just silent with the engine. I'm like, well, at least I can hear the fucking engine.
I got to the point I just turned Spotify on the Xbox and listened to Spotify while I was playing the game, because that was the easiest way to not just put up with the same old music and the commentator bashing the crap out of you.
Actually, speaking of integrations and shit, have you seen that Mixer is still integrated into Forza Horizon 4?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Fucking hell. Anyway.
I think they get rid of that anyway. Next one along, No Man's Sky. We gave that, I think we both gave that a bash and did a bit of multiplayer.
I streamed that for a few games.
That was enjoyable. Some of the achievements in that seem a bit hard, like to get to the center of the universe on full hardcore mode without dying.
Okay, that's ridiculous. But like when that game first came out, people got to the center of the universe in the first week it came out, and then discovered, spoiler alert, that when you get to the center of the universe, it just puts you back on the outside and you have to start again. That was the big thing.
Yeah.
It pissed off so many people.
Is that when you're talking about when it was released, you're talking about the crap copy on the PlayStation or when it was released on Xbox?
I had people bringing it back to my store because they'd found out from like IGN and that someone had made it a center and that you just get set back.
Oh, God.
I was like, this game.
That was interesting when you used to go into the game shop and it was $70 for the Xbox version or $10 for the PlayStation version. Because there was that many copies of it.
The Xbox version also had the update that the PlayStation didn't get for like another couple of months.
Oh, well, finally, we got a PlayStation, an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah, well, hopefully this year we're going to have some sort of exclusivity. Well,
Microsoft owns enough bloody gaming studios now.
I'm waiting for Perfect Dark. I'm going to play Flight Simulator.
Microsoft Flight Sim.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be terrorist bombing sim. It's going to be flight sim. I'm going to fucking fly.
We'll see how. I don't really have any aspirations of playing that game, to be honest.
It's on Game Pass.
Is there an auto mode? I'm just going to go, I want to fly from here to here, click auto mode and just have a look at the scenery.
This is what I think we should do. We should get the Dirty Crew and we should all stream at once, pick a plane that we all have to choose, and we have to go. I mean, it's realistic, so you can't exactly go from like Perth to Auckland because it will be there for fucking hours. But we've got to do like a Sydney to Melbourne flight or something like that and see who can do it first, who can do it the quickest and land successfully.
Can we hedge bets that Kiwi's going to crash?
I reckon both the fucking Kiwis are going to crash.
I don't think either one of them.
Bird.
I don't think either one of them would install the game, to be honest. Anyway, speaking of the bloody Dirty Crew, the next game, Call of Duty, Warzone and Cold War. They seem to belt the crap out of that game saying how crappy it was, but they seem to be playing it a lot. Same with Apex.
It's well, they suck at Apex. Every time they get a win, it's because I'm on their fucking team, let's face it.
Yeah, because I haven't played a huge amount of Warzone. Warzone, to me, playing it as a solo sort of thing doesn't excite me or anything like that. I like playing it with squads has been fun, doing missions and everything else on there. There's times where I've had to go in and do challenges. The Cold War and even with Modern Warfare, the multiplayer game, I've been enjoying that a lot. I actually think the Cold War maps are better than the multiplayer. In the multiplayer than Modern Warfare did.
I reckon so as well. I got so over those Modern Warfare maps. They were bullshit by the end of it.
But even I didn't think I'd enjoy when they did the beta, they had that Armada map with the boats out in the water and everything like that. I didn't think bad. I'd enjoy that much, but I actually love that one when you're doing when you've got the three ships and you've got to go between them and everything and you've got to capture the zones. Because there's the one in the middle where the sub is and the guts of it or whatever. You just jump in the water there and everyone else just jumps in the water after you and you just touch having an underwater fight. You're looking at yourself going, these weapons wouldn't shoot underwater anyway, but anyways.
It's an interesting game and it's definitely changed the way people perceive Call of Duty multiplayer for this generation, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens with the CDL when they start putting the CDL maps in and the modes in and stuff like that. But the other mode that I'm having fun with at the moment in Cold War is the 3v3 face-off, and they've done these small maps for it, so you can't. You're not going to get, and they've disabled kill streaks and all that kind of crap. So you're not going to get halfway through a game and everyone's just calling in kill streak after kill streak after kill streak.
So what you're saying is it's actually skill based?
Yes and no. I just have fun running around, buddy, shotgunning people to the face.
I didn't think Call of Duty knew what skill based fucking gameplay was anymore.
Yeah, they do. In Warzone, they do skill based matchmaking.
Skill-based matchmaking. That's fucking everyone who's got all the money gets the win.
But it's I'm having fun with it. I've got the battle pass at the moment for the first season of Cold War, so I'm going on my way through that. Making use of the double XP weekends and the double XP stuff that they throw around. But yeah, I'm intrigued just to see what maps, because you, I thought in your daily drop, you said that there is a mid season update or something like that, midweek update coming to Cold War. So,
yeah, so today, yeah, there was, they said on January 14th, there's going to be a mid season update that's bringing a couple of new maps and a couple of new modes to zombies and multiplayer. And one of them is a new mode in the fire team lobby called Dropkick, where apparently it's 6v6 for nuclear launch codes.
Nice, because I noticed that they've done fire team duos at the moment instead of doing squads. So you've got fire team duos.
That's cool.
The fire team one, I don't mind. That's what I mean. I think the developers for Cold War have actually made the developers of Modern Warfare look like crap.
It is Treyarch.
Yeah, so like Treyarch have just taken it in the Cold War maps and the multiplayer maps and stuff like that, and just, I don't know, albeit some of them are from Black Ops, they still, but even the fire team one where you got to try and do the dirty bombs and then get yourself out of there before the bomb explodes, and is been an interesting game mode, but a game mode that I've enjoyed, because you can't just stay around somewhere and decide to snipe people or anything else like that, because once people work out where you are sniping, they'll just land behind you and kill you. So it's good that you're not having buddy to deal with a whole bunch of snipers sitting up on the hill sort of thing. But I'm hoping that they do. The only thing is with that fire team one, it'd be nice if they did some different maps, because at the moment it's just a big rainforest jungle sort of area. I was hoping that maybe like they did with a couple of the multiplayer maps, maybe do a desert or something like that, or even I even thought maybe even do something that's to do with ice and snow and stuff like that, and change the surfaces up where you can't get traction, make people slide around and stuff like that. Although that would be a bit interesting, but we'll see what happens.
I think the sanatorium map that they announced with this update is meant to be a fire team map.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just a nutty house, nut house pretty much.
Yeah, well, hopefully we see that revolving through, not just they change the map to that and leave it at that. I think the ones that I tend to play are like the ones where the maps keep changing, so you know that people aren't going to just jump into that level and know where to go and camp and stay and everything else like that. Anyway, the next one along is NBA 2K21, which I've played because I'm not a huge basketball fan, or I like watching the NBA. I don't like playing the NBA game. Same with, don't get the whole hype of why people want to play Madden each year. But anyways.
Honestly, I haven't played an NBA game for a few years now. And there was a lot of hype over the fact that this was a truly next-gen game. Like it. They actually used a different game engine and everything like that to the other 2K21 on the old gen console. So I got the next gen version for the Series X, and it's actually probably the only game I've played so far that actually feels like a next gen game. Like there's no fucking way that thing would play on a normal Xbox One X or anything like that. It's really good. It's really in depth. Like I haven't been able to move like that in an NBA game ever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a good story and stuff like that, but just the graphical fidelity, how smooth it is, the load times are great. Like, it's really good.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm taking for granted now with the Series X is bloody load times. They just don't seem to be there in many of the games.
Yeah.
So that's, I think we're getting spoiled, but I think we'll probably get them back as they start to develop games that really take hold of what the Series X can do.
It's literally going to be like, oh, wow, we've got no load times on it. Can make it bigger.
Yeah. Put more graphics in to get them pushing. Next one.
Bethesda will make massive load screens just so they can keep putting the tips in their load screens because that's what they do.
They'll have to start putting the tips in the games as advertising soundboards in the games. Just have them keep scrolling the tips over as an advertising board up in the top of one of the buildings or something. But all right, Gears Tactics is the next one. I haven't played that one yet either. I'm assuming you've. But it's another Game Pass game.
Gears Tactics is it reminds me of old school Command and Conquer.
Okay.
Like it's a turn-based strategy game. I love Halo Wars. I love freaking Command and Conquer and all that type of stuff. And I just wanted to try Gears Tactics, and I actually got hooked. I got hooked hard. It's really good, and it's really in depth with the type of characters you can pick up along the way because they've got their different skill sets. You got a couple of snipers, you got people with the Nasher shotguns, and you got demolition experts. It's really good, and it's a good story too.
Oh, so it's got a single player campaign sort of thing to it, does it?
Or, I still haven't gotten through it. It's fucking big.
Fair enough. All right. Well, that might be one of the ones I need to look at downloading. Next one is, or one that I loaded up off Game Pass with an EA merged with Game Pass, was Rocket Arena. I've been enjoying it. It's just a fun little game where you just jump around and shoot rockets at each other and then blast everyone off the map. It is so basic, but it's just 3v3, having fun doing just jumping around, shooting the hell out of each other with rockets. But then you've also got each person has their own sort of special moves for the two different ones from different ones that you do.
I do have to jump in and give that a shot with you one night.
I call it mind-numbing fun because it's you just jumping around these maps. The maps aren't huge, and it's just firing rockets at each other and blowing the crap out of each other because you can throw bombs, you can do all kinds of different ones. It's just enjoyable fun. Next one along is, I don't really think this is really a game of the year that we played or a game that we'd want to play, is Hyperscape. I think I played it twice on my PC because it wasn't on console and went, yeah. It's just and then I played it once or twice on Xbox and went, no, it just belongs on PC. It's just a hell of a fast-paced game, and you either need to snort a line of G Fuel and then play this game and then tweak the old Elite controller up to max and the sensitivity on freaking full both just to be able to turn on someone and shoot them and stuff like that. Like, I've been able to hear people sneak up behind me in Call of Duty when I'm playing multiplayer there, and you could turn on them and shoot them and everything like that. But in Hyperscape, you couldn't hear anything. You just come through as a buddy. When there's two or three running together, they just come through and clean you out.
Literally, I put Hyperscape on this list just to show, like, Ubisoft are infamous for great games.
That's not a great game.
This is not fucking one of them. Unfortunately, it's definitely not one of them. Like, it had the streamer hype and everything like that because it was integrated with Twitch. When was the last time you've heard of anything to do with that? Because I think it was the first month it was out was about the only time.
I haven't seen many streamers playing it at all. Like,
I don't even think people play it anymore.
I've seen a few get hooked on it. Lupo was one of them. Dr. Lupo got hooked on it, was playing it, and was really good at it.
Yeah, but have you seen his fucking DPI?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's made for him.
Yeah, so, but I just, on the Xbox side of things, I think I've played it a couple of times. I think I've even, one of the only games I've ever uninstalled.
Yeah, I played it a couple of times and stuff like that. I streamed it a couple of times, but, like, you have to put the sensitivity down to like 10 for it to be manageable, because it's it was just set up for a keyboard and mouse, and as soon as you put on an analog stick, it was nah.
Yeah.
It was microscopic increments would put you halfway across the screen.
Yeah, we'll just leave that one as that then.
Yeah, it's a dumpster fire. But in saying that, if you think about it, they've had this issue before. Like they brought out Rainbow Six Siege, and that was a trash dump, and it's gotten a lot better. It's one of the most played games in the world at the moment. Same with Ghost Recon and things like that. They know how to make a game better.
Yeah, well,
I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, Hyperscape's a bit like bloody Anthem.
Yeah. So, okay, Hyperscape is Ubisoft's Anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that sort of thing. All right. So we're on to PlayStation 5, which I think, or PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, which I think I'm about the only one that can talk about these games. So I'll probably be quick. Spider-Man, Miles Morales one, I haven't started yet. I started back with the fact that I wanted to play the Spider-Man remastered on PS5 first. And oh God, is it gorgeous on PS5. I thought it was nice on a PS4 Pro. On a PS5 at 4K, it is stunning.
Like I thought it was gorgeous on freaking PS4 Pro when I played it, but even on stream, it looks better.
Yeah,
and half the time, that's only at fucking 1080.
Yep. So that's been a interesting game to. I learned from my mistakes from playing it on the PS4 and the fact that you need to go through the areas and clean it out. Otherwise, by the time you just follow the story along and unlock everything and then you want to go clean the areas out, you just cause yourself a big-ass clusterfuck and you're swinging down the street and all you got is just people firing rockets at you and shooting you out of the sky and everything like that. You just spend half your time dodging and trying to do other things like that. So I just learned that if something in that area unlocks, to go and find it and do it and then move on and clear the whole city out and everything. So I've done the whole find all the bags, go take photos of the different monuments, and working my way through the story.
I do like the photos.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing.
And the different outfits is pretty cool. All the different Spider-Man, what you want to call it, skins, outfits, whatever you want to call it as you're going through there. And the different tech that does different stuff. The next one along is one that was sort of a 1 month sensation, I would say. And that's Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, which I think did I hear right that they're bringing that game to Xbox and everything now? Is that Among Us?
Apparently Among Us is coming to console. I'm not sure about Fall Guys. All I've heard about Fall Guys is their season 2 hype.
Yeah.
Okay, can you have a season 2?
They keep doing about the skins and everything like that that you get in it. The last couple of weeks, all I've seen about the fact that what was it, Mr. Beast, Ninja, and someone else donated $500,000 to a charity to get skins in the game. And then when they did put the skins in the game, they've made them worth like 5 or 10 crowns for each part. So you got to get like 20 crowns to get the whole skin and everything. The Ninja one, there was a lot of controversy over the fact that you needed to earn so much to get these skins. And
that's a bit bullshit.
To me, it should have been the fact, well, they've donated $500,000 to get their skins in the game. The skins should have been a free rollout to everyone that was playing the game at the time that they launched or whatever it is.
Or one crown for the entire thing.
I wouldn't have probably gone with crown. So I think I would have gone with the little in-game currency stuff you get because you earn that every time you play a game.
Okay.
So you don't necessarily have to get a crown because I think I've only actually won about 3 or 4 times. I think the most hours played on that game have been by my son more than me. He enjoys just running around as a chicken and trying to do the levels, so I leave him to it.
I can understand that.
The next thing along was Astro's Playroom, and that was a real eye-opener playing that game. That really pushed the limit of what the PlayStation 5 could do, or not push the limit of it, but could showcase what the controller can do and what the PlayStation 5 can do. And that in 4K was really nice. Like, I've managed to go through and completed the game, found everything you need to find in it. So when you drop into your little, whatever your little loot room or whatever, it's got all the PlayStation 1 stuff, the 2 stuff, the 3 stuff, the 4 stuff, and the 5 stuff in the middle. And there's all different bits and pieces hanging off the roof. And it's quite interesting and quite fun. And being able to work out some of the hidden trophies to get for that one. I don't know if I'm going to get platinum on it, because I don't think I can. I can't get the speed run under 7 minutes total like they want it to do. I'm thinking about like 7:30, and I'm trying to work out where I'm going to pull 30 seconds from. But it's been an interesting one with the gameplay in that, in the different modes, especially when you're in the monkey suit and you got to actually twist the controller like this to get it to climb up and everything like that. So it's been an eye-opener as to what you can get a controller to do with all the technology they've put into that controller. For games plays like that, I don't think that controller is built for FPS games. I think they need to bring out either a pro controller or bring out a dedicated FPS controller. Otherwise, I think once Scuf work their way around it, or similar people, and work out how to pull components out of it to make them a good FPS controller, you'll find that people will start buying them.
So you think the adaptive triggers are a clusterfuck for competitive gaming?
For competitive gaming, yes. In doing the different things, like in Astro's Playroom, when you're the monkey and you're climbing up the wall, there's a couple of things where you have to only half press the adaptive triggers in to get you to climb, because if you full pull them in, that just, you just rip the bloody thing out of the wall. So you got to like half pull them and everything like that. I think that's all fun and games with that kind of stuff and doing that kind of stuff, but I think in a shooter game, with the way the controller moves around and everything, for me, picking up that and then playing like Call of Duty on an Elite controller, the Elite controller feels more at home playing that FPS than I do feel with a new PS5 controller.
Fair enough. So, I mean, you're not the first person to say, you're probably not going to be the last. I mean, at this point, if Sony don't make an Elite-style controller where they rip out the adaptive triggers and just put in trigger locks, then I seriously don't know what the fuck they think they're doing. They need to... That would be one of the biggest money makers on their platform, with how many people have bought a PlayStation 5 and how many people play Call of Duty on PlayStation 5, especially with the freaking timed exclusives and shit they get on that game. They would make a killing with a $200 controller.
Yeah, well, the other side of it is, I think that might have been the underlining factor as to why, because there's discussions with the CDL why they've gone back to PC.
I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Because they said about the PlayStation 5 and everything, because there have been queries or questions raised in the Challenger League for the CDL. How do you know people aren't using aimbot and hacks on the PC when they're playing online and everything? And then they were talking about the fact that it needs to go back to console to alleviate that side of things. But I'm assuming you can probably still buy plugins that you can plug into your console, but the console's probably going to know that they're there.
You can. Like, there's tons of aimbots on the market for PlayStation and stuff like that that say they're undetectable by online servers, and it's literally a USB stick.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think the main thing we're seeing, they're saying that we're seeing CDL is on PC now is because of the refresh rate. I'm thinking it's the fact that with the PS5 coming out, they just, no one wanted to play on those haptic controllers. And Scuff haven't like, they still have it now I don't even know what's going to go on with. To me, it looks like the way Scuff are pushing and everything at the moment, they're switching over to being an Xbox business.
Yeah, well, they're still made to play with a controller, aren't they? It's not mouse and keyboard yet, is it?
No, they're not allowing mouse and keyboard for CDL. It's controller, and you're only allowed to use controllers that are on the accepted list that they have.
Yeah. So you're allowed to use Scuffs because they're on an accepted list, and it's they've got
I think they're even allowed to use an Elite Xbox controller as well.
That's what I was going to say. I'm pretty sure the Elite controllers were advertised as CDL approved when they first came out, like the Series 1 first came out.
Yeah, well, I guess
they got marketing for it. I'm just like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah. we'll see what happens as it comes on.
That was years ago. Wow.
As the year progresses this year with the CDL. We'll see what happens and who I'm intrigued to see who plays on what controller, to be honest.
That will be a big marketing push as well, like for Scuff and things like that. Like, oh, Scump uses this controller.
Yeah, well, they've all got, that's what I mean, but that's the thing with all the CDL ones, with Scuff being on board and everything, all the CDL pros have their Scuff controllers and
The signature
most
range.
Of the teams, signature range, and most of them are sponsored by Scuff. So are we going to see a season of just Scuff controllers plugged into PCs? Who knows?
I reckon with the connection issues that Scuff controllers have had in the past, I'm waiting for that one pro to come out with an Elite controller.
Well, I know that most or all of them will play with their controllers plugged in with USB cables. So,
you can't play wirelessly. You're not allowed to. It's part of tournament rules.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, we'll see what happens. The years play there. Anyway, on to Nintendo. I think the biggest one we've had played this year has been Animal Crossing.
Haven't even bought it. That was all you. Oh, okay.
that was me and my daughter playing that one. It was it was just one of those things when we're in an imposed sort of lockdown here in Australia where we still going to work and everything, but we weren't allowed to go anywhere unless we needed to, essential travel sort of thing. So that was one of the games that got us through. The other one we're playing is Paper Mario, the Origami King. That was actually been interesting.
I actually almost bought it on your recommendation, and then I forgot.
If it comes up in the store on sale, I reckon grab it. I know that some of the Mario ones were on sale over Christmas with the Boxing Day sales and all the rest of it that they have. But I would recommend it. It's the last one I played on Wii U. It was the last Paper Mario.
Okay, that one wasn't bad, actually.
And this one has taken what they did in there and improved on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, apart from being on the Wii U, it was a good game.
Yeah. But it's the Paper Mario one's a fun game. Even my son has actually jumped in and played a little bit of it. So It's easy controls, but it's a lot of fun doing the different things, and the boss battles are actually interesting. I think it's better than the Wii U one in the fact that you don't have to worry about these so much about the cards and putting cards in and everything when you battle. But the next one we got here is Super Mario 3D All-Stars. I think I haven't played a huge amount of this. I think I loaded up Mario 64.
Yep, that's pretty much what I did.
I think I played the first couple of levels. I was still trying to remember back from those years when I played the game where everything was without getting Google out and doing a guide.
I think I got 14 stars in 64 at the moment. Okay. I've been playing a fair bit, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I was sort of in two minds as to whether to start from the first one and play my way through it, because I've never played Mario Sunshine. So I was sort of more leaning towards, I just wanted to load that game up and play, to be honest. But I was given the 64 one. I just wanted to give each of them a really a go and see how well they've been, what do you call it, remastered, redone, and go from there. But I haven't played a huge amount of Nintendo games this year.
I've been playing a lot of Super Mario and the 3D All-Stars, pretty much.
Yeah, I was going to say I played a heap of Mario Maker 2, but I haven't really made any levels. I've just been playing everyone else's levels doing what they call it, a little story mode where you build the castle.
Yeah, I've seen that.
By doing challenges and doing levels and things like that.
Mm.
Some of those levels are just, I don't know, I'm stupid. I don't even know if I'm going to get through them. But, yeah, I think some people are pretty talented when it comes to getting through some of these levels and making these levels, because I'm assuming you can't publish a level unless you can complete it.
Yeah, so they do have, it's kind of like an anti-griefing thing that if you can't complete your own level, then no one else obviously will be able to, so you can't publish it. But I mean, I've seen some, it's literally like you get to the start, you hit the first brick and it brings up some other bricks, and all it says is don't stop running, and all you do is run as fast as you can, and if you hold off the button for even a microsecond, you fall and die.
Okay.
But like you're just bouncing around like you're Sonic almost.
Fair enough.
And as long as you keep running the same direction, you'll get through it. It's a cool little experiment.
Yeah. All right, well, that's pretty much a discussion of some of the top games that we've played in 2020, even though some of these games didn't come out in 2020. Apex, I think, is about the only one through here that didn't. Spider-Man is only a remaster, so.
Yeah. I think it was worth talking about. I mean, that thing looks amazing.
Yeah, but it's always good to not just do a top games of 2020, but actually go through the games that we've been playing and streaming and enjoying. So if you need to get hold of us, we got an email address. It's birdieandbasepodcast@essentialgamer.com.au. We're essentialgamer.au on Instagram and Facebook, as well as essentialgamer.au on YouTube and essentialgamer.au on Twitter. Leave comments underneath or send us an email or tag us, whatever, if you're interested. Maybe we'll do a live show, or we do this live on Twitch, but maybe we'll do a live show where we get people to ask questions and be part of the discussions if we get a big enough audience. Until next time, we'll see you later.
See ya.